March 13th, 1997, 11:19 p.m. Eastern Time. Tell us about this episode called Troubleshooter 615.
Troubleshooter 615. I think this will be the key, or one of the keys to understanding what really happened on March 13th. First of all, like you said, this occurred on March 13th, 1997, 11:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 80 miles off the coast of Norfolk, Troubleshooter 615 had just dropped off a SEAL team at one of the amphibious bases here in Virginia Beach, and was returning to a tender, a smaller boat that would refuel it on its way to the aircraft carrier Kennedy. And from the report that's been published, which is, by the way, published almost 6.5 months after this happened. There was not a single news story reported about this. In fact, I think if you go to try and find this in the Virginia Pilot online, or even if you're a subscriber and you try and get the archives, for some reason you can't find the story anymore. But I have it, and it's real, and we've got the original paper, so it's not like conspiracy theory or anything like that. But for some reason, if you type in Troubleshooter 615, you will not find it. Okay?
You will not find it.
You will not find it. You may after tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reason I'm telling you this is because I want everybody to think I'm this, marvelous investigative journalist, and it didn't happen like that.
Well, and let me be pragmatic. Okay, so it was a crash. Okay,
yeah.
It crashed. It happened. Mm-hmm. It was an accident.
Well, let's talk a little bit more because it's important to understand what happened. This thing, this Troubleshooter 615, four very seasoned people on there, the pilot, the co-pilot, two guys in the back. We're coming into land on the tender, and the standard procedure is to take off their night vision goggles. And the report says that it was coming in fine, everything smooth, clear, moonless night. I mean, it was absolutely clear night. No weather conditions that would have caused any problems. And just as it's about to be coming into land, it does a rotation. Do you know what I mean by a rotation? It pulls off from the landing, and as it does so, it has to dip its nose forward and really put on the power, pull the handle up, and rotate forward to get, because it's coming in towards the back of the boat. And then what it has to do is it has to dip forward, go to the right, and put full power on. Well, apparently it just went straight into the ocean right next to, and again, this is the official report. We don't know what happened. This is just what the government says happened, okay? Nobody was out there. We don't have any independent investigation, So we don't really know what happened, okay? Well, they did an autopsy in the official report, and they said that they found no drugs, there was no mechanical problems, there was nothing wrong with this helicopter or its crew that they're aware of. Well, that, I saw this in the paper, could not believe it. Because by this time I had found out about what happened in Phoenix, and I'm thinking, oh my God, we have a plane, and only because I'm from Norfolk. You remember this happened 80 miles off the coast of Norfolk, and my sighting took place the night before in Norfolk on March 12, 1997. So I thought, God, there's got to be a connection to this, somehow.
Yes.
And before that, the day after, I had found out. I was watching television, literally right after I got fired. And saw the whole thing come down with Clinton and his knee in Florida. And I thought, well, isn't that strange, But I didn't know about Troubleshooter 615 at the time. So I had the new little bit of information. And Peter Davenport found this out, and I think Mike Fortson did too. I don't know if it was all independent. And I'm sure that there are probably a lot of witnesses out there that kind of made this connection too. So I don't think I'm alone in this. I know I'm not alone in this. When you look at the times, this is the key, okay? The published time of the crash of Troubleshooter 615 was 11:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, when I had gotten in, I got every news report I could find that was published on Clinton's injury. And for those of you that don't know, on March 14th, it was reported down on March 14th at sometime, between 1 and 2 a.m., that Clinton, President Clinton at the time, in 1997, was upstairs in Hobie Sound of, what was it, Greg Norman.
Greg Norman, the golfer, right?
Yes.
He was Greg Norman, yeah.
And
that guy wears that big hat.
Nice place to live down there. Yeah. I like to live down there. And apparently, you know, Clinton had injured his knee bad enough that he had to be taken to the hospital. And the scuttlebutt, you know, the sort of link that is made is that, you know, that something happened, and again, this gets into sort of the DEFCON thing with the satellite being disabled on March 13th and all that, that basically the you-know-what hit the fan on the national level, and that the Secret Service freaked out, and, you know, either they jumped on him or they were, you know, rushing him to someplace, and he tripped on something, and he blew his knee out, you know, really bad.
All right, now let's elaborate a little bit about this, Bill. Are you saying that somehow this UFO episode may have contributed to Clinton's injury because they tried to cover him up or something, protect him?
Yeah, basically.
How do we stretch that? I mean,
Well, it gets a little bit better because I just got an email. Again, the times are so basically what it means is that. If you correlate 11:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to Arizona time, which is 2 hours behind, it's at the exact height of the Phoenix lights. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay.
In other words, these events are happening simultaneously.
All right. So you're saying they get a report that there's an object unidentified, even though it's in Phoenix.
Right.
Cover the president, even if he's in Florida.
Well, three things going on. You've got
unless you get one in Florida.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You know, we know they were in Phoenix. I'm assuming that something happened to Troubleshooter 615, 80 miles off the coast of Norfolk. And there's a history of that. Okay, there was a Fighting Tiger 524 that disappeared in the middle of the daylight on February 22nd, 1978. It caused pandemonium in St. Flat. And as a matter of fact, that's how they developed the special rules of engagement, I've been told, for these things, SROs. And that's on the website, too. You know, we've got the whole story on that. And they never found the plane. They never found it.
Now, that's weird.
And it happened 100 miles off the coast of Norfolk, the same thing. Not only did they not find the plane, it was a A-6 Intruder bomber. There was no distress call. There was no ELT, which is emergency locating transmitter. Nothing. From one sweep of the radar scope, it went from being there to not being there. In the same area that Troubleshooter 615 went down. And again, there's another guy named Jim Knopf, who was an old Navy guy, who put it. And again, it was going to the aircraft carrier Kennedy. And you have a third event that happened also 100 miles off the coast that was reported by Jim Knopf. I have it on my website. Who was a Navy guy in 1971 that said there was another UFO event in the same area.